Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman Mem Rabbi Avram Golder and Tehillah Maseches Chulin Daf Tzadi Beis, the seventh parak, Gittin Nasha. The Zichu Maseches Chulin program has been generously sponsored anonymously to help bring a lasting kinyan of Torah to Lomdei Daf Yomi worldwide. So the three tops are going to focus on, number one, the Sar Mashkim related his dream. Ubegefen Shlosha Sarigim. On the grapevine, there were three branches. The Gemara presents numerous interpretations of this dream. For example, Rabbi Yirmi Ba'aba said, Gefen El Yisrael. Grapevine alludes to Yisrael. Shlosha Sarigim. Three branches alludes to the three regalim each year when the Jewish nation goes up to Yerushalayim. Vehiko Barachas. And it was as though it were blossoming, hints that the time has arrived for Yisrael to be fruitful and multiply. Also, Nitzah, its developing fruit came forth, hints that the time has arrived for Yisrael to be redeemed. Yivshu Eshkolaseh, on Navim, its clusters ripen into grapes, hints that the time has arrived for Mitzrayim to drink from the cup of wrath. Reish Lakish says, Umazok Gefen Nimshala, this Jewish nation is comparable to a grapevine. Its branches are the wealthy householders who support the poor. Its clusters are the Talmid Chachamim. Its leaves are the Amei Arts who produce the scarce food, like leaves protect the grape clusters. Its tendrils are the empty people of Israel. This is the meaning of the message sent from Eretz Yisrael. Liboy Rachamim Iskalaya Alaya, let the clusters request mercy for the leaves. Dimali Ilaya Lomiskaimim Iskalaya, for without the leaves, the clusters could not survive. Point number two, Shmuel says that the Mishnah's ruling, the chelbo mutter, and its chelov is permitted, is ledivrei hakol, it's unanimous. This doesn't refer to the chelov of a fetus, the Mishnah's earlier subject, because that's actually a machlokas. Rather, it refers to the chelov of the git hanasha. And Shmuel is teaching that all agree it is neither forbidden as chelov, nor is it included in the git hanasha prohibition. However, the Gemara objects that this is also machlokas. Remer says, Mechatit achra b'kol makmashu. One must dig after the gidan nasha wherever it's inside the meat, including the offshoots, the chosik shamno mikaro, and cut out its fat from its root. But Rav Yudah says, Gomumo imashofi. He only levels it off with the rounded flesh, but the embedded offshoots and chelev are permitted. The Gemara answers that Shmuel meant that all agreed that the chelev hagid is permitted midaraisa, but Rabbi Meir prohibits it midarabban. Abraisa states that the gid's fat is permitted, Yisrael kadoshim nalgubo iser, but the Jews, who are holy, adopted the custom of considering it forbidden. And point number three, Rav said, lo asur Torah el kanokano shabo. The Torah only prohibited the offshoots of the gidanasha embedded in the meat which are soft and edible, but the hard and inedible nerve itself is not prohibited. Ula disagrees. Eitzu, but Torah chayva lav. Indeed, the gid is inedible like wood, but the Torah still holds one liable for eating it. Abai says that Ul's opinion is more reasonable because Ravasi says that chutin sheba chelev, the threads of chelev, meaning nerves and blood vessels, which run through chelev, are forbidden, but one is not chayv karas for eating them because they are only rabbinically prohibited. This proves that the term chelev in the Torah's prohibition does not include the associated chutin. Here too, the term gid in the Torah's prohibition does not include the associated offshoots. So once again, the three points are, number one, the Sar Mashkim related his dream. Ubegefen Shlosha Sarigim, on the grapevine, there were three branches. The Gemara presents numerous interpretations of this dream. For example, Rabbi Yirmi Ba'aba said, Gefen El Yisrael, grapevine alludes to Yisrael. Shlosha Sarigim, three branches alludes to the three regalim each year when the Jewish nation goes up to Yerushalayim. Vehiko Barachas, and it was as though it were blossoming, hints that the time has arrived for Yisrael to be fruitful and multiply. Also, Nitzah, its developing fruit came forth, hints that the time has arrived for Yisrael to be redeemed. Yivshu Eshkolaseh on Navim, its clusters ripen into grapes, hints that the time has arrived for Mitzrayim to drink from the cup of wrath. Reish Lakish says, Umazok Gefen Nimshala, this Jewish nation is comparable to a grapevine. Its branches are the wealthy householders who support the poor. Its clusters are the Talmid Chachamim. Its leaves are the Amei Arts who produce the scarce food, like leaves protect the grape clusters. Its tendrils are the empty people of Israel. This is the meaning of the message sent from Eretz Yisrael. Liboy Rachamim Iskalaya Alaya, let the clusters request mercy for the leaves. Dimali Ilaya Lomiskaimim Iskalaya, for without the leaves, the clusters could not survive. Point number two, Shmuel says that the Mishnah's ruling, the chelbo mutter, and its chelov is permitted, is ledivrei hakol, it's unanimous. This doesn't refer to the chelov of a fetus, the Mishnah's earlier subject, because that's actually a machlokas. Rather, it refers to the chelov of the git hanasha. And Shmuel is teaching that all agree it is neither forbidden as chelov, nor is it included in the git hanasha prohibition. However, the Gemara objects that this is also machlokas. Remeir says, mechatid achra b'kol makmashu. One must dig after the gid anasha wherever it's inside the meat, including the offshoots, the chosik shamno mikaro, and cut out its fat from its root. But Rav Yudah says, gomumo imashofi. He only levels it off with the rounded flesh, but the embedded offshoots and chelev are permitted. The Gemara answers that Shmuel meant that all agreed that the chelev of a gid is permitted midaraisa, but Rabbi Meir prohibits it midarabban. Abraisa states that the gid's fat is permitted, Bisrael kadoshim nalgubo iser, but the Jews, who are holy, adopted the custom of considering it forbidden. And point number three, Rav said, lo asur Torah el kanokano shabo. The Torah only prohibited the offshoots of the gid anasha embedded in the meat which are soft and edible, but the hard and inedible nerve itself is not prohibited. Ula disagrees. Eitzu, but Torah chayva lav. Indeed, the gid is inedible like wood, but the Torah still holds one liable for eating it. Abai says that Ula's opinion is more reasonable because Ravasi says that chutin sheba chelev, the threads of chelev, meaning nerves and blood vessels, which run through chelev, are forbidden, but one is not chayv karas for eating them because they are only rabbinically prohibited. This proves that the term chelev in the Torah's prohibition does not include the associated chutin. Here, too, the term gid in the Torah's prohibition does not include the associated offshoots. All right, so now we go to Siman Daf Tzadi Beis, and our standard siman is a tzav, a turtle. A turtle. So here goes. The giant turtle proudly carrying a lush grapevine on its shell, representing all the different types of people in Klal Yisrael, happily snacked on the fat wrapped around a giant gid anasha that the holy Jews prohibited, midrabban. While two smaller turtles play tug of war, one pulling the thick gid itself, saying it's not permitted, and the other pulling its branching kanokanos and declaring that they are forbidden. Once again, slow motion. The giant turtle, that must run daf tzadi base, tzav. The giant turtle proudly carrying a lush grapevine on his shell, representing all the different types of people in Klal Yisrael, which reminds us the Gemara brings numerous interpretations of the dream of the Sar HaMashke. Klal Yisrael is compared to a geffen. Reish Lakish says, Umazo kegeffen nimshal. The Jewish nation is comparable to a grapevine. Its branches are the wealthy householders who support the poor. Its clusters are the Talmidei Chachamim. Its leaves are the Amaya Arts who produce the scarce food, like leaves protect the grape clusters. Its tendrils are the empty people of Yisrael. So the giant turtle proudly carrying a lush grapevine on its shell, representing all the different types of people in Klal Yisrael, happily snacked on the fat wrapped around a giant gid anasha that the holy Jews prohibited, midrabanan, which reminds us, the Gemara brings the machlokes about the chelev of the gid anasha, but all agree it's permitted midaraisa. Rabbi Meir prohibits it midrabanan. Abraisa states that the gid's fat is permitted, Yisrael kadoshim nalgubo iser, but the Jews who are holy adopted the custom of considering it forbidden. So the giant turtle proudly carrying a lush grapevine on its shell representing all the different types of people in Klal Yisrael, happily snacked on the fat wrapped around a giant gid anasha that the holy Jews prohibited, midrabanan, while two smaller turtles play tug of war, one pulling the thick gid itself, saying it's not permitted, and the other pulling its branching kanokanos and declaring that they are forbidden. Which reminds the Gemara brings the Malkokas, whether it's the inedible gid anasha itself that's prohibited or the kanokanos, the offshoots. So once again, the giant turtle proudly carrying a lush grapevine on its shell, representing all the different types of people in Klal Yisrael, happily snacked on the fat wrapped around a giant gid anasha that the holy Jews prohibited, midrabanan, while two smaller turtles play tug of war, one pulling the thick gid itself, saying it's not permitted, and the other pulling its branching kanokanos and declaring that they are forbidden. All right, so now it's time for our four blabach chazara. Daf Peches, so the simmer Daf Peches is a pach, a garbage can. So here goes. When the oil blood from the shechted bird spilled onto the cover of the garbage can, that must be on Daf Peches, pach. When the oil blood from the shechted bird spilled onto the cover of the garbage can, which reminds us, the Mishnah taught and a Braisa elaborates, v'kisahu, and he shall cover it, melamed shedama nitas v'sha'al hasakin chai v'chasos. This teaches a blood which spattered and blood which is on the knife must be covered. Rabbi Yudah explains this only applies where there's no dum other than this which can be covered, but if there is, he doesn't need to cover this blood. Another Braisa darshans v'kisahu to teach that all its blood must be covered, including the blood which spattered or which is on the walls of the throat. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says this only applies shel kisa dama nefesh, where he didn't already cover the lifeblood, but if he did, he's patur from covering this blood. So when the oil blood from the shechted bird spilled onto the cover of the garbage can, the shochet reached into the can and found some old garments to burn, using the ashes for kisu adam, which reminds us the mission discusses what materials can be used for kisu adam. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel stated a general rule, Davish Magadabot Smachim Mechasimbo. Something in which plants can grow may be used for covering blood, but something in which plants cannot grow may not be used for Kisui Adam. A braisa adds that one traveling on a ship and has no earth to cover blood of a shechita should burn his garment and cover the blood. The Gemara quotes Psukim calling ashes and gold dust afar. So when the only blood from the shechted bird spilled onto the cover of the garbage can, the shochet reached into the can and found some old garments to burn, using the ashes for kizui adam, proud to be a descendant of Avram Avinu, who said Anochi afar me'efer, which reminds us, Rava says, Beskarsha Amar Avram Avinu of Anochi afar me'efer, as a reward for Avram Avinu saying, I'm but dust and ashes, zachu banav ushtei mitzvahs, his descendants merited two mitzvahs, efer para v'afer sota, ashes of the paraduma and the earth used for testing a sota. The mitzvah kisui dam is not mentioned here because it doesn't provide a benefit besides the mitzvah itself, as opposed to paraduma, which affects tahara, and sota waters, which bring marital harmony. Daf Pei Tes, so the simon Daf Pei Tes is a pot. So here goes. The king who was humble enough to stir the pot. Pot? That must be on Daf Pei Tes. The king who was humble enough to stir the pot cooking on the fire, even though he was so great, which reminds us, the Pasuk says, Lo merubachem mikol ha'amim chashak Hashemachem. Not because you're greater than all the nations did Hashem desire you, for you're the smallest of the nations. This hints that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Yisrael, Choshkeni bechem, I desire you as my people. Shafil b'shash ani mashpil lechem gedua atem mimati na'atzmechem ufanai. Because even when I bestow greatness upon you, you humble yourselves before me. The Gemara then goes on to describe the humility displayed by Avram, Moshe, and Aaron, and David when they obtained greatness. So the king was humble enough to stir the pot cooking on the fire, even though he was so great that he burnt at Nirei Nidachas, whose ashes were being used for Kisui Adam, which reminds us the Gemara permits performing Kisui Adam with the earth of Nirei Nidachas, a city led astray to Avodah Zorah, which was destroyed. The Gemara objects that the ashes of the destroyed city are Aseh B'Hanah. Ziri answers that the mission refers to ordinary ground, which is permitted. Rava answers that the ashes themselves may be used because mitzvahs lav hanus nitnu, mitzvahs were not given to Israel in order to benefit from fulfilling them. So the king was humble enough to stir the pot cooking on the fire, even though he was so great that he burnt at Nir Nidachas, whose ashes were being used for Kisui Adam. Use the ladle to point out a gidah nash on a baby animal of Kadshim, which reminds us, the seventh parak begins, Gidah nash nohag ba'aretz b'chutzlaretz. The prohibition against eating the sciatic nerve applies both in Eretz Yisrael and outside Eretz Yisrael, during and after the base of Mikdash, and both with chun animals and Kadshim. It applies to both behem and chai, to both the right and left thighs, but not to birds. The Gemara explains why we need to learn that Gidah nash applies to Kadshim. Daf Tzadi. So the siman Daf Tzadi is a tztaka box. So here goes. The man who puts tztaka in the tztaka box, that must be on Daf Tzadi. The man who put stock in the stucka box to purchase olos watches a man who ate the gidanasha from an olo received malkas, which reminds us the Gemara discusses whether the gidanasha applies to karbanas which are not eaten, for example, an ola. So the man who put stock in the stucka box to purchase olos watches a man who ate the gidanasha from an ola received malkas and was so inspired by the cone removing a gidanasha to be thrown in the tapuach and not with the rest of the carbon, which reminds us a braisa teaches that an ola's gidanasha is brought up. According to Rav Huna, that it's not burned on the Mizbeach. This means it's brought onto the Mizbeach and then removed and then thrown onto the Tapuach. We don't cut it out on the Azorah floor and bring the dissected thigh up because the Pasuk says, HaKriveihu na'u pachasecha, present it if you please to your governor, teaching not to offer to Kadosh Baruch Hu something unacceptable to a human ruler. So the man who put stucca in the stucca box to purchase olos watches a man who ate the gidanasha from an ola receive malkas and was so inspired by the cone removing a gidanasha to be thrown on the tapuach and not with the rest of the carbon that he pledged to donate so many golden grape clusters that it would take 300 kohanim to remove them. Which reminds us, the Gemara discusses places where the Torah or Chazal spoke b'lashon havai in hyperbole. Shmuel says the Chachamim used hyperbole three times, once regarding the tapuach, also regarding the gef and the grapevine of gold at the Heichal entrance where people would donate a golden grape or cluster which was hung there, and the Mishnah says that 300 kohanim were needed to clear all the gold. Finally, regarding the parochas, which was a tefach thick and 40 by 20 amos, which the Mishnah says required 300 kohanim to immerse it in a mikveh if it became tameh. Daf Tzadi Av. So the siman Daf Tzadi Av is an exit sign. Yetzia, an exit sign. So here goes. The right foot first exit sign. Exit sign? That must be on Daf Tzadi Av. The right foot first exit sign installed at the butcher shop to remind them that only the right thigh has a prohibition of Giranasha, which reminds us, on the previous Daf, the Gemara quoted Rabbi Yehuda who holds, unlike our Mishnah, that the Giranasha prohibition only applies to one thigh, Vadas Makras es Shel Yamin, and logic indicates it's the right thigh. The Gemara ultimately proves that Rabbi Yehuda is certain it's the right Giranasha, and eating it incurs Malkas. Rava says that Hayarech, The thigh connotes hamiyumena shebayarech, the most distinguished of the thighs, meaning the right thigh. So the right foot first exit sign installed the butcher shop to remind them that only the right thigh has a prohibition of Gidanashe was on the wall with a graffiti mural depicting the fight between Yaakov Avinu and the Malch, which reminds us that Gemara brings the Agad about Yaakov's fight with the Malch and his stay in Beis El. So the right foot first exit sign installed at the butcher shop to remind them that only the right thigh has a prohibition of Gidanashe was on the wall with a graffiti mural depicting the fight between Yaakov Avinu and the Malach, right near the davening spot where the Malachim wait for Kedusha to be said, so they can say theirs, which reminds us, a Brisa states, Chavivin Yisrael Livnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yosem HaMalachei HaSharis. Yisrael is more precious to HaKadosh Baruch Hu than the Malachei HaSharis, because Yisrael may say Shira at any time, but Malachim only say it once a day. Other versions say it once in a week, a month, a year, 7 years, a Yovo, or once in eternity. Furthermore, Yisrael says Hashem's name after two words, Shema Yisrael, whereas Malachim only say it after three words, Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. Finally, Malachim cannot say Shira above until Yisrael says it below. All right, so now it's time to conclude with our pop quiz of 10 questions. Number 1. Which daf do we discuss? Which blood requires a kisui adam? And the Gemara brings three opinions. That's on daf Peches. Good. Number 2. Which daf brings numerous interpretations of the dream of the Tzara Mashka and Klal Yisrael is compared to a geffen? That's on daf Tzadi Beis. Good. Number 3. Which daf do we learn the review to hold that only the right Gid HaNasha is prohibited? That's on daf Tzadi Aleph. Good. Number 4. Which daf do we learn about blood which was already covered by a person or when? And whether we say Ein Dichui Eitzel Mitzvos? That's on daf Pei Zayin. Good. Number 5. Which daf do we learn about avoiding Kisui Adam when killing a bird to obtain its blood, such as in the case of Bechiah's flax, which was infested with moths? That's on daf Pehe. Good. Number 6. Which daf brings the Agadah about Yaakov Avinu's fight with the Malach and his stay in Beis El? That's on daf Tzadi Aleph. Good. Number 7. Which daf do we learn that one should spend within his means on himself, but beyond his means for his family? That's on daf Pei Daled. Good. Number 8. Which daf brings a machlokes about the chalav of the Gid HaNasha, but all agree it's permitted midaraisa? That's on daf Tzadi Beis. Good. Number 9. Which daf do we learn that Malachim cannot say Shira above until Yisrael says it below? That's on daf Tzadi Aleph. Good. Number 10. Which daf do you discuss whether it's the inedible Gid HaNasha itself, which is prohibited, or the kanokanos, the offshoots? That's on daf Tzadi Beis. Excellent. All right, that concludes this pop quiz. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldhar from Zichu, wishing you a great day and great learning.